News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, if you find yourself getting outside of the overly broad range of our AM-FM capabilities here at WVNN, just know it does not matter. Basically, all you got to do is go anywhere you are in the big wide world, go to the World Wide Web, and go to rightsideradio.org. It's our website, rightsideradio.org, and you can click on Listen Live, stream the show no matter where you are. I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. That's why we got listeners that call in from all over the place. We get texts and emails, and basically it's people that are like, you know, outside of the state a lot of times. And we know for a fact that they're hearing the show. I mean, Birdman gave us the stats yesterday. Our second biggest audience for the podcast piece is coming out of California. God bless you, California. We appreciate that very much. Anyway, rightsideradio.org, lots of stuff on there. You can find our Right Side store swag you can order. You can get the podcast. You can listen to the show live. You can read the things that Copper and I have, you know, syndicated columns out there. All that say, rightsideradio.org, it's a full-service website. Hey, I got time for one caller. I see I got a call on line three. Let me grab that real quick. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing?
Hoo-ah is how I'm doing, and thanks to you, Copper, for being out there.
Absolutely. And, thanks, man. Hello to you.
And as far as the net green benefits from us shutting down our oil and everything, I think we're doing the inverse. Because as a carbon footprint, if we buy 100 barrels from any place, Russia or else, then we have to, then you ship it over there. You're using fuel and resources to do that. You're putting off more carbon than you are if we just do it ourselves here.
Absolutely.
And then ship it down and have it processed.
Absolutely.
So the whole concept is ridiculous to begin with.
Yeah, it really is.
That was it.
Yeah, no, it's a great call, Brian, and you're absolutely on point. I mean, and not only that, but the who do you believe is going to wind up having the higher standards on maintaining, you know, clean environmental qualities while it's being drilled? Us or them? I mean, Venezuela? Not likely. I guess he's already gone. Anyway, but he's got a great point. So the breaking news story, by the way, and I'll hit this real quick before we go to the break. One of the breaking news stories is right before we went on the air today, President Biden did do a speech from which he announced that he is going to be putting a moratorium on the imports of Russian oil. Well, that's 670,000 barrels a day. And he was very quick to point out that doing so is going to make U.S. prices go up even higher because it's going to mean a short-term shortage as we try to make it up somewhere else. Is he going to make it up with domestic production? No. That would make too much sense. So he's going to make it up by going to Venezuela and Iran. Those are the two sources that they're negotiating with right now. Tell me why that makes good sense. Both countries who have nothing good to say about the United States. The leadership in Venezuela, we don't even recognize. We have had them under sanctions for years for being a rogue state here in our own hemisphere. I'm just saying. Good Lord, how did we get here? All right, folks, listen. A lot more where that came from. We come back. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. Bidenomics is going to be talking in detail about some of this. Reports are coming out. Numbers are up and down. All said and done, he has to wear this thing like a mask. I mean, it's just, it's not good. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Moving into number one of the Triple Dipper right now. All right, so Bidenomics is number one on the Triple Dipper. The interesting thing is, number two on the Triple Dipper is Ukraine, what next, what now? And I'm going to be honest with you, they overlap a lot. But let's make sure that one thing is very clear right up front. Bidenomics, remember we were doing it on this show, calling it a Bidenomics segment like, you know, what, 2 months ago. I mean, we've already seen that inflation was at a 40-year high before the invasion of Ukraine. So any of you out there, any of you of my favorite trolls who want to go on social media like some have done here in recent days and try to say, well, how do you feel about the fact that this really what's happening in Ukraine is called? No, it's not. It's who we have in the White House. that is causing the bulk of our problems. Now, are there bleedovers to our economic situation coming out of the war in Ukraine? Certainly, because there's a great deal of international market disruption that comes from having the breadbasket of Europe completely, you know, devastated. Basically, I want to say, oh gosh, I've forgotten the percentage, but a huge amount of wheat and grains come out of Europe or come out of Ukraine for Europe. Even China was buying from Ukraine at one point. All of that is coming to a standstill. You're going to see a huge economic impact, especially in the European theater, regarding, you know, things like market goods, farm to market. And then you've got the fact that they are a major nuclear energy producer. That's taking a hit. And then you're going to see import, export of things, even things that were exported to them are now, you know, being halted. All that has an impact on us too. It does. There's no way around it. But the bottom line is this. Bidenomics existed prior to the invasion of Ukraine. Got a story here. I pulled it. It's, what day is this? Today's the 8th. This is just 2.5 days old. Coming off of MarketWatch.com, investors brace for the U.S. Consumer Price Index reading of close to 8%. 8%. Whew. All right, this was what, Friday? Yeah, I think this is Friday's report saying that what they expect to have this coming Thursday, which is what, 2 days from now, they're expecting it to read 8%. Traders expect Thursday this coming week, that's this Thursday, to bring the first in a string of annual Consumer Price Index headline figures close to or above 8%. Whew! Says the year-over-year rate for February is likely to be 7.9, followed by 8.3 for March, and potentially 8 for April. That would be the longest stretch of such high readings since September of 1978. When U.S. stagflation resulted in a decade, or it lasted a decade, wound down. Oh my goodness. All right, so, and it goes on to say, though the war is creating havoc in the oil markets, there's roiling commodity prices trickling down to American consumers. Inflation is already at a 40-year high of 7.5%. We're going to see it hitting 8% potentially by late this week. So there's that. All right, Bidenomics is there. This is not a panic call, but what it is basically saying, folks, be prepared. All right, do what you can to be prepared. I mean, recognize that there may be times and places to buy the wants, and maybe it's time right now to stock up on some needs. You know, be aware of those in your family or friends who don't have much and check on them and make sure they've got some necessities set aside. As prices go up, recognize that you might want to fill up your tank now instead of waiting a couple of days, because prices have been escalating 10, 20 cents a gallon in a 24-hour period. All right, story off of Reuters dated yesterday. No inflation relief in sight for the U.S. as the impact of the Ukraine war intensifies. Says that Russia's invasion of Ukraine has dashed any hopes that U.S. consumers might have had for relief from skyrocketing inflation, with gasoline prices in the last week surging by the most in nearly 17 years, and the cost of other goods like food ready to march even higher as well. It points out, accurately so, even before the invasion, the U.S. inflation rate was set to show prices rising at their highest pace in 40 years. Oil, just this past Thursday, this weekend, what day was this? This was Monday. Oil climbed to over $130 a barrel yesterday then. That's amazing. It says that Federal Reserve policymakers are also keenly watching the report as it comes out this coming Thursday, just a week prior to their next policy meeting. The U.S. Central Bank is widely expected to raise its benchmark overnight interest rate a quarter of a percentage point on March 16th, trying to control inflation without derailing economic expansion. This is a balancing act right now, because the market forces are in a tug of war at the moment. And so the reality is that we are facing international crises that impact the market, so we try to adjust our market to control the rate of inflation. And yet we also have certain things that are not being done, like getting us back to energy independence. Well, so how much is this going to cost us? Stop and think about this. Inflation, I mean, if you've bought milk and bread, if you've gone to the store trying to find eggs or bacon, like bacon's like up 17%. That's epic. So here's a story off Fox Business dated today. Headline, how much will inflation and record gas prices cost the average American family in 2022? Well, they've done some studies on it, and at current rates, even if things don't trend much further than they are now, the expectation is that the average American household will pay almost $2,000 more just for gasoline in the year 2022. Oh, wow. The average price for a gallon of gasoline hit $4.10 on Monday, a new record high surpassing the 2008 record of $4.10.03. And by the way, back when we had that last epic increase in gas prices, if I'm not mistaken, now 2005 is what I was thinking. It wasn't 2000. Yeah, 2005 was when we had Hurricane Katrina, and that rocked the oil market for a good 6 to 8 months. And I'm trying to think what 2008 was. 2008 was the economic downturn that began the recession. Either way, ain't good. You don't want to go back to those times. And here we are. So that being said, here's some good news. Let me just paint a few good things for you. Like, you live in a red state. You live in a state that, despite the fact that the legislature wants to do gambling bills and other things like that, at the very least, we have a market that is favorable to employment. So right now, Alabama's unemployment rate, according to the Alabama Department of Labor, shows that Alabama's unemployment rate continues to hold at a steady 3.1%. That's one of the better in the nation. Over the year, it says, too, from this report that wage and salary employment increased 48,400 with gains in the trade, transportation, and utilities sectors, the leisure and hospitality sectors, and the manufacturing sectors. So, yeah. That's good news, because when you get jobs in the manufacturing sector, you're not looking necessarily at part-time. You may be temp, but you're not part-time. Leisure and hospitality, those can be part-time. But transportation, trade, and utilities, no, those typically wind up being full-time. So that's positive stuff that we're seeing right there for Alabama. Unemployment rate holding steady at 3.1%. I got a caller on line four before I go to the break. Let me grab that. Line four. Oh, Jeff from Indiana. Jeff, how you doing today, man?
Doing good, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind?
You think maybe Biden found Jimmy Carter's playbook? I mean, we've got the gas and everything. I'm waiting for the 18% inflation like I paid for my car when I bought one when Carter was president.
Oh, yeah. Remember back when you'd buy a house back then and everybody thought it was really cool if you could have interest rates that were below 14%? Unbelievable. Yeah, but I would hope that Reagan threw out that playbook. I mean, I thought he got into office and just sanitized the place and made sure none of that was left.
Well, the trouble is we went from Winston Churchill to somebody who wouldn't even hold a candle to Neville Carter, or Neville Chamberlain, I mean.
Yeah, so, well, Neville Carter, I like that too. And Jeff, you're right. And the crazy thing is, so much of what we're seeing right now, in fact, I've got a sound clip that I'll play here in a minute. It's literally Steve Forbes talking about this very thing, and they're talking about how much this reminds them of the Carter era. So I tell you what, Jeff, when we hang up here, I think I'll go ahead and get that clip ready and be playing it pretty soon. But yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. Well... Okay. And all right, brother.
I just don't know what, you know, I mean, what's it going to take for the people to, when are we going to use the 25th Amendment on him like we was on Trump? You know, I never hear anybody saying that, and he's definitely incompetent.
Now, I've wondered several times, how bad is it? I mean, is it really just that he does not come across well and he seems a bit tired, or is he really just addled and not cutting it for the job? I don't know.
He's a puppet with somebody pulling the strings. I don't think he has any idea what's going on.
Well, God bless him, but God bless us in the meantime. So, absolutely. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you very much. You be careful on the road, dude. All right. Hey, Copper, I'll tell you what. I didn't even mention it, but that was a great segue. Can you get clip two ready? Go ahead and grab clip two and just type up on the board for me real quick when you've got it. If we have time before the break, I'll play it. It's only about a minute long, but it's almost like the conversation that Jeff from Indiana and I just had is that what we're seeing right now with Bidenomics is something that is completely reminiscent of the Carter era. Now, I've got some stuff here on oil and gas, and I'm going to get to that here in a moment. But let me just do this. I'll tell you this while Copper's getting that clip ready. New York Post, dated just a few weeks ago, says that Bidenomics and blue state policies are hurting black workers disproportionately. Interesting thing. Do you remember during the Trump administration, black Americans' unemployment rate was at an all-time low? It got down to a national low of 6%. That was the lowest since 1972. Yeah, and black poverty rates fell. Median household income for black families grew. Well, not anymore. We are now looking right now that black unemployment remains stubbornly high at 15.2% in New York City alone. And nationwide, it's running at 6.9%. So it's up a full percentage point just in the last year. That's just awful. But that's also reminiscent. I mean, 1970s era data, that's incredible. Copper, you got that ready? You good to go? Okay, I'll tell you what. Clip two is Steve Forbes talking on Fox, and they're reminiscing about exactly what Jeff from Indiana and I just said. Go ahead and play it, Copper.
Is a recession in your economic forecast for the next, say, year or 18 months?
The way these people are going, we are going to have a real slowdown and may have an official recession, you know, two quarters in a row of negative growth. And again, that was caused by government. And that's why after November, I think you're going to see profound changes in economic policy just by the sheer pressure of events.
But it really is just like the late 1970s, isn't it? I mean, you and I both remember that time. High inflation, rising interest rates, a foreign problem. It was Iran in those days. It's Russia today. It's just a carbon copy of 1970s. I wonder if we're going in the same direction. Because the 1970s gave us Ronald Reagan in 1980.
That's right. And we should remember, before 1980, in many circles, Ronald Reagan was seen as sort of an extremist, a lightweight.
Yeah.
And he got elected and rose to the occasion. So again, I think the American electorate is going to come to the rescue just as it did in 1980.
You hope, and so do I. Thanks for...
Well, move us to a break, Copper. And on that favorable word, I hope so too. I've said on the show several times it took a Carter to bring us a Reagan. Well, let's hope that we're pushing in that regard now. Right now, though, we got a midterm election coming up. We need to be on our toes and doing all that we can to see conservatives elected to office so that we can change the dynamic not only in D.C., but in the world. In our pocketbooks, for that matter. Yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So here's part of our breaking news for the day because it bleeds into two of our topics. Number one on the Triple Dipper is Bidenomics. Number two on the Triple Dipper is Ukraine. All right, Bidenomics is the inflation rate we're seeing, the cost of gas and the price at the pump, so to speak, the overall cost of living in general, the fact that we have wage loss, if you get down to it, because even though we've had wage increases, your buying power is less, and so you wind up with basically, it's as if you had a wage cut. All that to say, a part of this is the manner in which the Biden administration is approaching energy policy. And our energy policy makes no sense whatsoever. Unless, of course, you're big for the Green Energy New Deal, right? The Green New Deal. The Green New Deal. Going to have us an entire environmental core. Going to have those Greenpeace activists out there hugging them trees. Anyway, all said, I'm making light of it, but it's ridiculous. And what it's done is it's taken us from a place that we were energy independent to being energy dependent. Well, today, breaking news. And some folks are heralding this as, yes, what a great thing that the president has done. Let me make sure y'all are clear on what has happened. President Biden came out today and he issued a moratorium by executive order on any further imports of Russian energy, all right, Russian oil. Okay, that's good. We need to. We needed to maybe like a month ago. Maybe we needed to, I don't know, maybe a year ago. Maybe we needed to not ever start that process because we were a net exporter of energy before Biden took office. Jen Psaki, and I've got the sound clip, but I'm not going to go for it right now. I'm going to tell you what she said. So Peter Ducey from Fox was working the issue in the latest press conference storyline off Daily Wire dated yesterday afternoon. Peter Ducey challenged her, Jen Psaki, on why the administration was trying to seemingly blame President Vladimir Putin and the invasion of Ukraine for high oil prices, when in reality it was the fact that there's been a moratorium on oil and gas exploration. There's been a freeze on things like the Keystone Pipeline that we have gone from energy into, anyway, all that. Here's her catty response. Well, let me give you the facts here. I know that can be inconvenient, she said. Oh, here we go. She said there's over 9,000 leases that had already been granted, and that, you know, you could take it up with the gas companies if they're not producing enough. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. She apparently either, number one, she's either lying through her teeth, or number two, she has a fundamental misunderstanding of oil and gas leasing. Oil and gas leasing is done in speculative manner. When you recognize the potential for pockets of oil or gas, the energy companies will run in there and they'll lease out the mineral rights or the rights to potential exploration with no knowledge yet whether they're ever going to get there. They might sign up a 20-year lease, pay tens of thousands of dollars to the landowner, and never even come back and do a thing because it doesn't pan out, or they saw more profitable opportunities elsewhere, or they got into a position where they were being so overregulated by a burdensome central government that it was no longer worth it to them to take action upon those oil and gas leases. So the idea they got 9,000 quote-unquote leases is a red herring, people. In fact, the fact that you have 9,000 leases, most of those leases, I just heard a report right before I came on the air, most of those leases were approved by the Trump administration to give a panicking oil and gas industry the opportunity to grab some opportunity, some leases before Biden came in and shut that down, which he did. And Kudlow said on Fox right before I came on the air, there has not been a single sale of oil and gas exploration land since Biden took office. Well, I've got this right here. I went back and pulled it. I'm not going to have time for this, so I may wind up getting to this later. But I went back to 2011. Pray tell, Phil, why would you go back to 2011? Because that's when Biden was vice president. And AL.com had a story about an oil and gas industry that was saying, look, if you'll let us do our work, we'll bring jobs to your area and financial, you know, well-being to your area. There was an estimated, in this one report in 2011, there was an estimated 3,353 jobs that would come just to Alabama, 230,000 jobs nationwide, if the Obama administration would just get up off their neck and allow them the opportunity to do what they do. Fast forward, I've got almost the exact same thing right now in an article in the New York Times dated last week. And that tells you, yeah, the vice president became the president and brought the same policies with him. All right, listen, we're going to break from that for a minute. We're going to take the news, and then we're coming back with my friend Bill Holtzclaw, former state senator. We served in Montgomery together. He is now running for his old office again as the conservative candidate on the Republican primary ticket. We'll talk to Bill Holtzclaw about several things, not the least of which is the fact that he and I helped kill the gas tax back in the day. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.